It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 11 down through the 15th verse. And so please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's always such a joy to be together and to study God's precious Word, to learn and to grow. And so now let's begin to read Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading with the 11th verse. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let's begin now with prayer after reading those verses of Scripture. I hope that you're able to follow along with those and enjoy them today. And so now let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please that you show us your way and your will, and that you would strengthen us today so that we can follow you each and every day. Know your will, know your way. Understand, dear Lord, that we cannot depend upon our own power, our own strength, our own will. We must depend upon you. We must search your will and way. We must follow you. It's so important, dear Lord, that we do not follow our own and depend upon our own strengths, because we will just fail if we do so. And today we're looking and talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being our high priest. What a place and what a position that he holds for us. Let us not neglect that or miss that opportunity to be to understand what he has to give us. Father, we have folks out here that's listening that does not know you as their Savior. I just ask today that they trust in you today and not miss one opportunity coming by faith to you. And next, dear Father, we need to know that it's not just the salvation that you give us, but after we have received that salvation, then it's a wonderful walk. It is a work that needs to be done in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what begins then. And because the Holy Spirit comes within our hearts and seals us, we are eternally yours. And so let's see that we sit down and do a work for you. Thank you, dear Father, for your wisdom, for your saving grace, for your power that you give us. We just thank you for it. Now please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today as we study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we have enjoyed in the earlier verses there the tabernacle itself, where there was a tabernacle made, the first, that's in the second verse, and then we find here in the 11th verse, as we just read, a tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And so, of course, at this time, we were looking, it's very shortly that the temple is going to be destroyed, the one that stands at this time. But as we look at this tabernacle, the one made with hands here that it's speaking of, is, of course, begins with the tent, and it, even though it went on into another building, a building made of stone, of gold and silver and of stone, and wood, more so than the old tent-style tabernacle. We find here that there is the furnishings, the division is all the same. You have the holy place is the first room, the Holy of Holies is next. The first room, you have the table of showbread, the incense altar, and the lampstand. You have in the Holy of Holies, the second room, the smaller room, the one that's 15 by 15, we have the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And in that mercy seat, we find, we're told here in the fourth verse, that it has in it is the manna. You know, God fed the nation of Israel every day as they were in the wilderness. There was not one time, one day that they needed to be concerned about any of their physical needs. You think about how wonderful that was and how much that should have strengthened and made every person, whether it was 2 million, 3 million, however many it was, young and old, men and women alike, it should have had them look and desire and want to serve a God that would care for them and lead them out of the bondage of Egypt into a glorious land that was going to be given to them. Oh, what a hope. What an exciting day that should have been. Instead of that, we know that it wasn't long they begin to complain. This manna, they have, the golden pot that had manna in it. I'm still in the fourth verse here. That was placed in the Holy of Holies inside the Ark of the Covenant underneath the mercy seat. And this was the food. This was this product that God produced. It was perfect. They had a perfect diet. You know, it was so wonderful that their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore. Isn't it? For 40 years. You know, today, how long does a shirt or a blouse or a dress or jeans, shoes, socks, how long does things like that last today? Most of the time, we don't wear them out. Most of the time, we discard them before because we have to keep up with the next fashion that's coming forward. So, or if you're young, you outgrow it, you know. But here, all those years, those 40 years, nothing wore out. They had a perfect menu, perfect food, all the necessary vitamins, everything was in that. And so that was placed in there. What a glorious thing to do, to go out every day and collect the manna. They, too, with that was given directions not to get any for tomorrow. Tomorrow you can go out and get it again. It'll be just fine. There'll be plenty tomorrow. If you tried to get it from today for tomorrow, it would stink and begin to grow worms. At the same time, when it came to Friday, because they on the Sabbath day they rested, and so when it came to Friday, they were to collect twice as much, and for some miraculous reason, it would not stink nor grow worms for the seventh day, so they had adequate food. If you didn't listen to God, you went out the seventh day, there was no manna. You see, simple principles to listen to God, but, you know, people don't. Some people would gather more, it would stink, and everybody would know what they had done. Others would go hungry on Sunday, on Saturday, on the Sabbath, because the seventh day, because they did not collect enough the day before. They just thought it would be there. You see, back in that time, nobody listened to God, and today it is worse than ever today. Something else that's in there is Aaron's rod that budded, and they had to choose the high priest. And so they took of the 12 tribes, the leaders, leader of 12, each of the 12 tribes, they stood before Moses, and each one of them had a staff, a rod, just an old stick, dead stick. And God said, the one that will be the leader, the spiritual leader, I will choose. The very first one, that was a line of Aaron, and it budded and began to produce fruit. And then we also have the Ten Commandments. And so that's what's in there, and then we have two cherubims overshadowing it. So we've got the room. We went in a little more description today of what's in the Ark of the Covenant here. But even though this is a different building, we still have the same furnishings. It's like it, and then we have the cherubims over across it, and the Ark of the Covenant, the lampstand, the incense altar, all those were of the same furniture. And so we find they were used to that. They would bring it in once a day on the Day of Atonement. They would come in and bring their offering. They would bring offerings often. They had to bring offerings often because Jesus had not finished the work. There was something called a mercy seat that was upon this Ark of the Covenant. It laid across the top. It was pure gold, no wood in it. But it actually did not become a mercy seat until the blood was applied. And so that's what we're talking about here. Now, if we come down and we look at verse 11, and so even 6 and 7, let me just refresh your memory, and I hope that you say, "Oh, Larry, not again." I love talking about this and being reminded of how wonderful our God is. And so we find here in verse 5, "And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly, nor now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God." That's that first room. "But into the second, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience." In other words, these animals, whatever they would do, wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. God knew it wasn't enough, but he would give them these things to remind them, be a memory of what was to come, remind them that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And so now we find, if we come now to verse 11, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, we're going to stop there with just reading those two verses, and we're going to visit just a little bit, because we have talked about how Aaron was chosen to be the leader, the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel, and is something more than just a leader. Because the spiritual leader is not someone that takes his or her own philosophy and ideas and runs with those. Now, let me read to you a small, very quick description of the high priest. And we're not talking about what he wore, but what his real purpose is. He must offer up the prayers, the thanksgivings, and the sacrifices of the people. He becomes the people's representative in the things that pertain to God. You see, the high priest held a mighty position, and yet it was a very humble and lowly position, because he is the mediator. He is the one between people, the people, and God. And so his purpose was to represent what God would say and bring it to the people, and then bring the sins of the people, the conditions of the people, bring what the people have before God. And the only way that this can be done is, of course, with always the blood. And we've talked about that. Not always was he a representative of the things pertaining to God, but sometimes he was a representative of God to the people. So it was both directions. It was both directions. And so we have been through in Exodus or in Leviticus concerning the 16th chapter there, we have been through the Day of Atonement. And so this is the great day, the ultimate day is this Day of Atonement. And here in the 11th verse, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. In other words, our Lord did not come down and come into this building that was up on this earth. That was built by man. It was a small picture of what the true tabernacle is. And so he's saying, you've had these pictures all this time, but I have come. And that's exactly what our Lord does for us. He presents to God the Father our prayers, our thanksgivings, our offerings, our sacrifices, and he represents us to his Father. Now, who is able to be under the Lord Jesus' care? Who can come to Jesus and go on to the Father? Can everyone that's ever been born and ever will be born do that? Only if you come by faith to Jesus Christ. It is the only way that you can come and have the Lord Jesus to be your high priest. He is not your Savior. He is not your King. He is not your high priest if you have refused to come by faith and accept his gift of grace, salvation, only through his shed blood, as he shed his blood for you and for me. Now, not only did he shed that blood, but he did something. He took it to his Father in the tabernacle in heaven. And that's what it's talking about here. Few people study this, few people see this, few people look at it. They ignore the precious blood of Jesus and his power. Then what do you do with the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus? What do you do with those wonderful books, the book of Hebrews, if you have eliminated what Jesus has done for you? He had to shed his blood and take it in that you and I would have a completed work of salvation. Now, let's look once again. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, again, chosen by God, just like Aaron was, only Aaron was just a picture of the true one, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not the one that was here before us in the time when Jesus was upon the earth here. We're looking at Hebrews. It's suggested that that was written in about 64. The temple and Jerusalem was all destroyed in 70. And so we have six more years. Doesn't matter because the power of God, the presence of God has left years before. And so many, many years. Now let's just kind of think about what we're doing here in this representation. Okay, we come through the courtyard. We come by the brazen altar. We're saved. We're born again. We've trusted in the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed at that altar on the cross of Calvary. That's what that altar represents. Then we come and we hit the washing of the laver. We have to be prepared. We have to have our heart cleansed and our mind cleansed. And then we come into the holy place and we see the beautiful light of the lampstand because the candles are so gorgeously trimmed and lit, and it's just a beautiful sight. And here's the table of showbread next to us that we can feed upon his word and be strengthened by his word. And before us is this incense altar, and all we see is the is the smoke that's coming up off of this incense, and it's not coming so much our direction back towards the door, but it's going forwards. And we call that not only incense altar, but also the prayer altar. It's going forwards, and it's going in, and before Aaron could go in, that had to be filled. That whole area was filled with this incense, just covered it, just with a smoke, just to where you couldn't see it. Because, you see, through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And I hope you can get this in your mind. I hope you've written it down. If you can't, you come through this first room, and then here's this veil. Well, we can't go any further until this incense has filled the room. And upon that incense filling the room, there's something else we can't do. We can't go in there if we don't have the blood. And you see, it's not just whenever Aaron felt like doing it. It was only on the Day of Atonement. There was one day a year that God called to do this. It was one time. Now, it was done year after year, but it wasn't done day after day. Jesus died on the cross once to set us free, and he has done just that on Calvary 2,000 years ago as he died on that cross to save us. Now, we're about to go through that veil. Who's over there? We've talked about what's in the Ark of the Covenant. We've talked about the mercy seat. We've talked about the need for the blood. We've talked about all those things. But why is it so important? It's because, my friend, it's where God chose to come down and meet with his people. And his people were to be his representatives and his spokespersons for all the world, to tell all the world about the love and the grace of God, his saving power from a wicked, wicked condition that man has. That is what was presented here. Now, when a holy God comes down and would be seated between those cherubims in the Holy of Holies, we have the fog, we have the smoke of the incense, and here goes Aaron on that proper day with his everything exactly the way God said. And here he comes, but he surely doesn't step inside there without the blood. The blood of the goat. Remember, two goats. One died, one was allowed to stay alive. One's known as a scapegoat, the other is a Lord's goat. And so here's the one, and he comes in seven times. He sprinkles this blood. Because you see, we cannot go before God the Father without going through the Son, Jesus. You hear all the time, oh, God said this, and God said that. And you say, who are you talking to? And he says, I'm talking God the Father. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I know he's the Son of God, but that's all I know. Well, then you are not speaking at all. You have no fellowship whatsoever with God the Father. Because the Word of God is the only authority we have, and it is complete. It tells us everything, and you cannot go to God the Father without coming through the Son. And so you see, here we come, even the high priest, Aaron, brought the blood. Well, also, our perfect Messiah, our Savior, our high priest, Christ has taken Aaron's place. Aaron was just a picture. Christ is the perfect High priest, perfect Messiah. He didn't need two goats. He didn't need other animals, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. He walked right through that veil, and he sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant his precious blood, his blood. His blood. Says, Father, hear, I have finished the work. I have completed it. What a glorious day that is for you and for me. Jesus was completely obedient. When he walked into the presence of God, as Aaron, when he would walk into the presence of God through that veil, he would never go without the blood, without his proper robe, all the garments properly placed, everything. Well, my dear friend, our Savior Jesus Christ walked through that veil, hands to his Father, the blood, and I guarantee you he was properly dressed. He was dressed in the righteousness of God. Perfect. What a glorious day. And you know, when he stepped forward and brought that to God the Father, you know what the Father also saw? He saw those nail-pierced hands. And he saw that pierced side. Because you see, those scars our Savior carries. And we will see those scars. We will see what Jesus has done for us the day that we go home or he comes to get us. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Jesus come as our perfect sacrifice. And he was perfect. It was all God's plan, God's way. And it, as the pictures of before, everything is the same. Innocent. Jesus had nothing to do with sin. Nothing. He was perfect. He was God. He just came down and took on the body of a man. We know there had to be the shedding of blood. The Word of God is very clear. Innocent sacrifice, shedding of blood, the sacrifice must die. And it must be God's plan. It can't be just somebody else's plan. It is God's plan. And so you see, Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. And as all these centuries and all these years, this blood of this goat was brought in and sprinkled, it just covered the sin of the people. But when Jesus, by his own blood, purged our conscience from dead works to serve a living God. And the word there for serve could be for, to worship, to praise, to honor. We are to be his servants. What a glorious day that this was completed. It was done 2,000 years ago. And for all those years, those pictures was forward. And I believe, if my memory serves me right, we're looking at about 1,500 years that we had picture after picture after picture, knowing, wondering, pondering on what was to come, who would come, when would the Messiah come. Well, Jesus 2,000 years ago came. He died on that cross. He shed his blood, and he presented it to his Father. What a glorious day. People don't like to hear about the blood. Preachers don't preach on the blood of Christ. But my friend, if you've forgotten, if you've never known what took place, I have jumped from the end of Exodus when we got the tabernacle to the 16th chapter of Leviticus to look at the Day of Atonement, because that is the great day and the great picture that we have. And then I brought you to Hebrews. Now we're going to continue as we will in a few more verses in this in the 9th and the 10th chapter of Hebrews next time we get together. And then we're going to take the folks into the Promised Land. And then we're going to enjoy another study as we just continue to learn more of the Word of God. And so please, this is an eternal inheritance. We are to serve the living God, to praise Him and to worship Him. This isn't a temporary inheritance, and we're here not to play our own games, but to serve the living God. And so my friend, as always, as we come to a close, I have to ask you this question: what are you going to do about Jesus.